No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.
Many of you have now heard the term stepped-up basis and it possibly being eliminated, which is very concerning. I encourage you to schedule your free 15-minute consultation with attorney Harlan Mitchell to find out what you can do to protect yourself and your family. Schedule your appointment with attorney Harlan Mitchell by calling 256-216-9884 or by going to BamaEstatePlanning.com. Do it today.
Boutique Air in Muscle Shoals, Alabama offers direct flights to Atlanta, Nashville, and Pensacola. Boutique Air service runs twice daily, 7 days a week, with fares starting at $59. Follow Boutique Air Muscle Shoals on Facebook at Boutique Air MSL and book your flight through BoutiqueAir.com. Boutique Air.
Where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
He's got a cold, nothing to worry about.
Just need a couple of stitches.
Your COVID rapid test is negative.
Oh boy, x-ray shows it's broken.
Trust Trinity Medical Care when you need urgent care or routine medical care. Walk-ins are welcome, or let Trinity help you virtually with telemedicine. Visit trinity-medicalcare.com for more information and follow them on Facebook. Trinity Medical Care, where your care comes first. Located on Governor's Drive and South Parkway.
Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
You know, my mother used to say a long time ago, whenever there would be any real catastrophe that was in the movies or on the air, she would say, always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, just on the sidelines. That's why I think that if news programs could make a conscious effort of showing anybody who is coming into a place where there's a tragedy, to be sure that they include that. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi folks, this is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White. Do something good today.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show. I'm glad that you all could join me today as we talk about a serious subject, and we talk about PTSD, we talk about depression, suicide, when it comes to first responders, law enforcement officers, firefighters, and even affects military members as well. A friend described Charlie Bradley as always smiling, and I remember Charlie back from Hueytown, Alabama, when my granddad preached at Hueytown Church of Christ, and I remembered Charlie Bradley coming to church with Greg Bradley, who was also a friend of mine. I didn't realize it last year when Charlie had passed away as a police officer, that that was the Charlie that I knew. We want to talk about a very serious subject right now as we think about the career path that Charlie took and the career path that I took. I became a police officer myself and served off and on for 17 years. And there are many challenges that go with that service as a law enforcement officer, to choose to serve your community. And there are many things that go with that that sometimes we're not prepared for, we're not ready for. We go through police academy, we train, we learn some things about what we may or may not see out there as a law enforcement officer, but we are challenged by the things that we do see, and they have an effect on us long after we're done with our career if we survive. I reached out to Charlie's wife, April, and wanted to talk to her about Charlie and find opportunities to make a difference, and let this be Charlie's legacy as we move forward, to help other families, to help other officers, other people who are serving in our communities in this capacity. Welcome to The Mark White Show, April Bradley.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you're willing to take this time, and I know that it can be a challenge to talk to someone about this subject, but as you mentioned, as we were talking, bringing awareness and making this an important subject, put it to the forefront that there are things within the law enforcement community, the challenges that we can face that can have an adverse effect on us when it comes to serving our communities.
Being in the law enforcement and being a spouse and having children and being married to an officer, as a family, we are not only taught but encouraged by our loved ones, our officers, to kind of conceal and to hide, to look after ourselves, not to trust. So a lot of the things that we were battling as a family was pretty much hidden and not really disclosed, because in law enforcement, it's a stigma not to be brave and strong. So it is something that I would like to see across our nation get stronger with stopping the stigma and being there for the ones that matter.
After Charlie's death, you were able to connect with families around the country in other states, and that did help you find some strength in the fact that there were other people who were going through similar situations.
Absolutely. During the time before we absolutely found out the final result, we felt very alone, or I did personally. I did think we were alone. I did not think that our nation had the stigma. I thought that, you know, we didn't hear statistics. We didn't hear families mourning their loved ones. If it's in the paper or on the news, it's always addressed as we've lost one of our own. Now that's a pattern that stands out to me. I knew there had to be somebody, some organization out there to honor and to keep his legacy alive and to help others. Because if there wasn't, then I needed to see what I needed to do to begin one. Because I never wanted another family member or another wife or another spouse or another child look at me and say, we didn't see this coming, or not have their family of blue and swarms there to give them the honors that their husbands or wives deserve. So when I researched, I found the Blue Help page.
I didn't realize when I was just a kid, as I mentioned, in Hueytown, growing up in middle school there at Pittman Middle School, and went on to Hueytown to the ninth grade, and knew Charlie in a limited way because he was about 4 years older than I am. I didn't realize that he wanted to be a police officer, and I actually wanted to be a police officer myself. Even back in those days when I was younger, that was my dream and that was my vision. And Charlie went on to serve in the military, served our country, came back and became a police officer and served his community. And as you mentioned, Blue Help is there to reduce mental health stigma through education, advocacy for benefits for those suffering from post-traumatic stress, acknowledge the service and sacrifice of law enforcement officers that we lose to suicide, and assist officers in their search for healing and to bring awareness to suicide and mental health issues. And unfortunately, Charlie's not here with us anymore, but his legacy lives on through you, April. It lives on through his children. We want to recognize his service, and we want to help others who may be going through challenges as a public servant and really feel like there's nowhere to turn.
Yes, through Blue Help, when I finally received the certificate stating I submitted him on the Blue Help line, on the form, and also then I decided to go into further and belong to the family group page, just for families only. And it wasn't until there and then that the emotions that I was feeling, the things that I was going through, the stories, the beginning and the after, or the things that were left out or wasn't told, it was something that was similar. We had stories that we could relate to, and I didn't feel so alone. And in reaching out to locate this, is that officers who either die in the line or killed in the line are recognized. They're recognized by our state. They're recognized by our country. They're recognized during National Police Week. John F. Kennedy did a proclamation, 3537. He did it in the honor of these peace officers who, through their courageous deeds, have lost their lives or have become disabled in the performance of duty. But also, he designates the week of May 12th through May 18th, which May 15th occurs of each succeeding year. A police week is recognized as a service given by the men and women who night and day protect us through enforcement of our laws. So that whole week is for all the law enforcement officers, regardless of how they died. However, every year they do a police week, and every year it's only for line of duty deaths. So with that being said, while reaching out to Blue Help, so they have an annual dinner that they do every year. And last year, and the previous years, they've had it in Washington, D.C. And although they are represented there, they are not encouraged. They don't have a belonging, just the Blue family as a big, you know, law enforcement recognition, the way it's supposed to be set up. So there is a division. So we have to kind of put past that division and stop saying we and they, that we're all together, that these men and women lay down their lives every day to do something that they love. And like you said, when I met Charlie when we were 16, that's all he wanted to be, was the cop. He loved it. He breathed it. He was a servant at heart, and he wasn't able to carry a gun. I remember, you know, he went down the Birmingham Police Department. He wasn't old enough. So his next best thing was to join the military, which we did. He joined, and then we were married, and then we left. And I saw a man that was one person, and his personality and the way he loved decline. And he had a really serious wreck that he was unconscious for. And, of course, he did just the first visit. I begged him to go back, begged him. He never looked into workman's comp, and I'm not sure if that's something that they provided him with or encouraged him. But when you're an officer and you're doing your job and you're en route to a call and you have a wreck that wraps your car around a tree and puts 10 staples in your head, and you go back to finish your report, you finish it because why? First, are you going to be suspended? Are you going to lose your job? Are you getting written up for actually doing your job? So with that being said, I do encourage officers who are in car accidents to further that well-being into looking into the concussion. Maybe one day have a policy for our men and women who wear that badge to have policies in place to protect them for such a case. 5 years later, he has another wreck. So from there on, I saw not only mental status go down, but physical. He had a specialty doctor for almost everything under the sun. And when I say military, when they're in a red zone or deployed, they come back for debriefing. They get post-deployment. Our officers, they stay in that red zone until their body either wears out or something happens to go on.
And it can be years later, after a person is out of law enforcement, that these things actually start to come about. Doesn't necessarily have to be while they're serving, but beyond the service, when law enforcement officers get out of the career and move on, unless there's some type of intercession, those things will continue to get worse. If it's okay with you, April, I want to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to especially focus on Blue Help, which is bluehelp.org for the website. At Blue Help, they believe that officers who suffer emotional injuries should be recognized and their service to the community honored. They believe it's time, as I do, to put names and faces to the men and women who have died because their emotional injuries became too much to bear. and it's time to support the families who have lost loved ones to those injuries. It's not how they died that mattered, it's how they lived. And that is what we're here to talk about, April, and to talk about the legacy of Charlie Bradley. Will you stick with me?
Yes, I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. Folks, right now, we're talking to April Bradley. Her husband, Charlie Bradley, worked in the Birmingham area as a police officer, served our community. He was a military member. He served our country. I hope that you'll stick with us as we continue to talk about this serious subject and show opportunities, reveal opportunities for help. If you're a law enforcement officer and you're listening right now and you need help, I hope that you will listen as we talk about Blue Help in the coming segment. If you are a loved one, if you care about someone who is a first responder and you know that they need some help, I hope that you will find an opportunity to get this information to them to help the person that you love, because we don't want anyone to suffer. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White. Unless I'll do something good today. A little wink, a pat on the back, a big old hug, a little laugh. We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Yeah, every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today. The best way to buy, sell, and experience land is with Jonathan Berryhill. For your farm, ranch, recreational, hunting, timber, and acreage needs, contact National Land Realty Professional Jonathan Berryhill at 256-874-7354 or email at jberryhill@nationalland.com. Be sure to follow Jonathan Berryhill with National Land Realty on Facebook. This is your land.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.
Losing a loved one is hard, but losing a loved one and not having an estate plan is even harder. Attorney Harlan Mitchell witnessed what not having an estate plan can do to families and decided to use his experience to do something about it. I encourage you to go to BamaEstatePlanning.com or give Harlan Mitchell a call at 256-216-9884. Again, that website is BamaEstatePlanning.com. Let Harlan Mitchell help you with estate planning. Do it for those you love and do it today.
Boutique Air in Muscle Shoals, Alabama offers direct flights to Atlanta, Nashville, and Pensacola. Boutique Air service runs twice daily, 7 days a week, with fares starting at $59. Follow Boutique Air Muscle Shoals on Facebook at Boutique Air MSL and book your flight through BoutiqueAir.com. Boutique Air.
Where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
He's got a cold, nothing to worry about.
Just need a couple of stitches.
Your COVID rapid test is negative.
Oh boy, X-ray shows it's broken.
Trust Trinity Medical Care when you need urgent care or routine medical care. Walk-ins are welcome, or let Trinity help you virtually with telemedicine. Visit trinity-medicalcare.com for more information and follow them on Facebook. Trinity Medical Care, where your care comes first. Located on Governor's Drive and South Parkway.
Hey everybody, this is Paul Overstreet, and you are listening to The Mark White Show. Stay tuned, because Mark is doing some things on his show that's helping his community and uplifting people, so you stay with him.
He drives into the city, works extra hard all day, finishes up early, so he can get away.
Welcome back to The Mark White Show. I am your host, Mark White. I am glad that you have chosen to tune in to the show today as we bring awareness to law enforcement officer issues. which include PTSD, depression, and even suicide. Charlie Bradley from the Birmingham area, police officer, went to Hueytown to high school, as a matter of fact, where I went to high school in the ninth grade. He's no longer with us. He wanted to be a police officer so badly. He wanted to serve our community. He served our country as a military member. And I wanted April Bradley, his wife, to be able to share Charlie's legacy. I wanted his wife to be able to share things that she was aware of, opportunities she was aware of, where people could get help that find themselves in a position like Charlie was. And April is on the line with me right now. Welcome back to the Mark White Show, April Bradley.
Thank you, Mark, for having me.
It takes a lot of courage, April, to be able to speak out. But I know that within you, there's this strength that comes from knowing that you can help others, especially after you have spoken to people across the country. You have connected with families, with organizations that are inspired to help others that were in Charlie's situation. And I know that that gives you that strength inside to be able to do what you're doing right now.
Yes, it's an amazing part of our healing process. The Blue Help family and the organization is real personal. I encourage anyone that's a family member who, if they have lost a loved one, or maybe it's a department that's seeking guidance and training, to reach out to Blue Help. Blue Help is in the process, and they've just started their charters in about 5 different states. I'm looking into the possibility of doing HIT here in Alabama. I believe that to implement a charter, the people have to be ready. So I'm waiting for not only the time for our family to heal, so I personally can put my attention and give the state of Alabama what they deserve, a connection between here and the co-founders and boards. So it just has a little bit more of an outreach, so they can't be everywhere at one time. They're opening up the different states to have charters. And with that being said, not only do they provide assistance for loved ones, they honor every year at their annual dinner retreat. They have what they call Camp April that's sponsored by Motorola Solutions Foundation and co-hosted by Watch. It was originally founded by one of the spouses that lost her loved one. Recently, when I was on a Zoom meeting, we're trying to plan the annual dinners, and we were all surprised with the announcement of the Heroes Bridge Memorial Park and the renaming of the bridge that's located in between Rowlett and Rockland. So Lydia and I were able to go to Texas this past September and walk that bridge and be part of the unveiling of the park. And it was a time of healing, because not only were the families, some families of this past year were there, there was also departments that showed up. There was also special forces that were there. There was mayors and senators of Texas that were there to see the two chiefs come together, acknowledge the men and women in Texas, and especially in that community that has been taken by suicide, was something that I was so happy for my daughter to see, for her to have faith. My son's in Washington State right now. He's in the 75th 2nd Battalion Army, so he was not able to witness it. We were able to hear stories of combat vets. We heard personal stories of post-traumatic stress and the effects it had on their family. We heard personal stories of police officers that were involved in shootings and recovered when they shouldn't have, and the effects that it had on their departments, not only on them, but their families, and what all they overcame. So it was great to be able to provide that for my children, for them to see that if you speak loud enough and you work hard enough, people are going to listen. And there are people out there that want to make a difference. And I'm not sure if the stigma is keeping some from, or if they're not able to because of the profession, they're not given the okay, or if it's the grief, or if they're trying to respect that law enforcement officer. These officers are crying out for help before their lives are taken. And I feel like honoring them is keeping that legacy alive. If that one moment in time can help save somebody and say, it's okay. It's okay not to be okay. If we let that message get out, then we will be able to change the stigma and help these officers. And the main thing is to recognize them after they're gone, because keeping them silent or keeping it hidden lets them just feel alone and keeps them in the dark.
You bring up a very good point, and I think about the fact that when a suicide does take place, whether it's a law enforcement officer or not, there is that stigma there. There are so many times when families don't want it to be said, and that's a personal thought that they have. That's a personal issue that they have, and I respect that. At the same time, when there are families like yours who want Charlie's name to be remembered, then we should respect that as well.
Exactly. And that's what Blue Help does. You can go in up there and you can go onto their page and you can submit their name and you can let them know if it's going to be something that if you want to do a tribute or not. But if you just want recognized, it'll be disclosed. It'll have the date. It'll have, may not even have their name, you know, on their wall until the family is able to be ready to go forward. However, Blue Help was part of getting the first national registry voted in by Trump this past 2020. So before then, I believe they started keeping count from 2015. That was the only registry for law enforcement suicide deaths in our nation. So in 2020, there is a national registry that people can go in and submit. And now if an officer is taken by suicide, they are to report that. Now, it doesn't have to go out and be news or names released to the public or to the press, but it's a statistical data that is now being kept up with on a national level.
The state of Alabama, and you shared this the other day, that a bill was passed by the House that would require counties and municipalities to reimburse police and firefighters for insurance co-payments for treatment of PTSD, and the bill also provided disability payments to law enforcement and firefighters who are unable to work because of PTSD. And this is a big step, and I appreciate the House members 98-0 passing this bill. That is a great step for those who are battling PTSD in the state of Alabama that are first responders.
Yes, I was happy to see this bill. I'm not sure if this has been a revised one or a new one, but back in 2020 in January, there was one that sat in the Ways and General Fund floor for a very long time. COVID happened. They resubmitted it with different wording, I guess, or maybe even came up with a, you know, more advised plan. So it's a start. I think it's good. I think the problem may arise is that the funding has to come out of their own department. I think I read somewhere they're going to start off small and see, hopefully it won't bankrupt the cities or departments. I think it's a great step. I think it's providing our first responders with something. But in order for it to work efficiently, I think the department men have to be encouraged to utilize it and not be subject to yearly evaluations. I think more departments are going in and trying to evaluate the level of their mental status. You know, that's why a lot of first responders do not go in and talk about it or try to seek help, is in fear of, what is this going to do with me long term? Will it keep me off the street? This is the only thing I've ever known. This is who I am. This is what I do. Taking me away or off the street will literally take my identity away. So I think there's a lot of work and a lot of training and a lot of counseling that needs to do with each department after this goes to the Senate and gets passed. think it's a great thing. Hopefully going forward, it will somehow maybe include in the future benefits for surviving families, because when everything has done and you go to counseling, you seek help, you're on medication, and your life is still taken, it leaves the family with nothing. And their legacy, whether it's 20, 25 years of law enforcement, is taken away. And that family has, they may have small children. The families that I have encountered and know, they have small, small children. And they are provided with absolutely nothing. And many lose their homes because the event has been taking place in their home. So that would be something I would love to see happen. I would love to see departments get on the bandwagon with this, and to the chiefs. I would love for them to talk about it, to incorporate the training that needs to be done, to do research on who the best psychologists are for PTSD, because there are many clinical, there's many counselors or many therapists that are out here in Alabama, but who are qualified to actually treat this PTSD and give them the best care instead of being passed off to one psychologist to another. I mean, my Charlie actually went through his work, you know, that's provided, like all of our work has. I know mine offers it, and I declined it because after weeks of meeting, that counselor, you know, informed him that he needed to seek someone more professional to help him. And he laughed. That's when he laughed to me. And I was heartbroken because knowing him, it took a lot for him to even take that step. And then he would have to relive it and re-talk about it. And he just kind of laughed and said, you know, I'm just to the point that I'm not fixable. I just told him, I said, you're just not going to the right one. And even into the state, doctors, it's hard for even a doctor to either do a physical post-traumatic trauma or especially a mental, to document it and to put it down. And especially on law enforcement, it's very hard for them to even acknowledge it, because they know once they do, it may take their career away. Or possibly it could be when he had his multiple wrecks, I would even ask the doctors, you know, do you think this could be from the trauma of his wreck? This possibly could be. For this bill, I think it's outstanding for the state of Alabama. I think it makes Alabama one of the 40th states that recognize that has something in place, because before this, we were like 11 out of our states that didn't offer anything. So do I think that it's a big step for our state, and I'm proud of our state? Absolutely.
And as you mentioned, officers are very reluctant to say anything about any problems or issues they have, because as soon as they say that, it opens that door and they could very well be shown out the door.
That's correct. And when we would have open dialogue conversations, Charlie and I, and I would acknowledge, I would say, this is not you, or this is what, you know, and I would say, why don't you speak to someone? And he would say, no, they said I was fine. The doctor said I was fine. Or he would say, they don't care. They just want us out there on the street. You know, it's devastating to know that my two children and I have sacrificed, because being a family of law enforcement, you sacrifice just like them. When the officer goes out to protect during tornadoes and storms and disasters, we're home providing for ourselves. We take care of ourselves. My children, at a very young age, I find letters, you know, and they pray, please don't let my daddy get killed tonight. And of all the things that I could have planned for my life, I never planned for this. When I met him at 16, I had prayed for him. And I don't remember my life ever before he came into mine. as if he came into my life and I began living. And I could have never, ever planned for this. Ever. And it's upsetting. It's so upsetting. And I think our families, just across our nation, whether or not the benefits ever get accepted or put into place or voted in, what I'm hearing across our nation is for that department to acknowledge year from year who that officer was. Say their name.
How do you want Charlie to be remembered? What is it about Charlie that you want people to remember and to say about Charlie years from now, decades from now, as they remember him as a public servant, as a law enforcement officer, as a military member?
I think he was a true servant. I believe he's more than that beautiful smile. He was loving and caring, and he didn't want to put the burdens of himself onto others. So he carried that bright, beautiful smile. He took on people's burdens, and he provided them with laughter. I want them to know that his servitude, his giving, his Christian heart that he had, he devoted himself as a father and to a husband. But most of all, he loved his career. That's who he was. His career meant everything to him. Of the 26 years, you know, in law enforcement, he did 20. Five of those years, he did the military. And he has gotten more honors from our great country than he did 20 years of service with the police. That says something about our country. Our country takes care of our military. It doesn't matter how they die. They get honors. They get their caps. They get, you know, the flag. They get the 21 salute. They get a place in a national cemetery. And it doesn't matter how they died. I think that sends a big message. Without him being military, I don't believe he would have got the honors that he deserves. So, yes, I want his legacy to be remembered as more than just a beautiful smile, but to know that a smile, he carried burdens, and he carried the burdens for everyone to make it a safe and loving place for everyone that was around him.
I want people to go to bluehelp.org. I want them to find Blue Help on Facebook through social media. You can find them, I believe, on Instagram as well. If law enforcement officers, first responders have issues that they are going through, post-traumatic stress, depression, thoughts of suicide, mental health issues, reach out to Blue Help and get the help that you need. If you have a loved one who is suffering from any of these issues that stem from serving, lead them to Blue Help and get them connected with the help that they need. I hope that through this show, April, that there are opportunities, more opportunities for Charlie's legacy to be spread, the word to be spread, and to know that you care about these families because of what your family has gone through. You understand the pain that goes with it, and you want to do something about it. I believe that that is the most important aspect of this show today, is to show the pain, the hurt that you and your family have gone through to get to this point, for you to be able to speak to me today, to share about what has happened to Charlie, and to help other families across this country, across the world, who are feeling the same thing, and to let them know, as you said, that they're not alone.
Exactly. Thank you.
Let's see what we can do. I'm going to try to do some more shows to bring awareness to this. I may even speak to some representatives as we move forward with certain bills that maybe I see that we can bring more awareness to it. And I know that I have a voice through this show, and I hope that I'm using it in a way that Charlie would be proud, that other officers who have had these same struggles as Charlie would be proud of what I'm trying to do here on the Mark White Show.
Yes, Mark, thank you so much for stepping up and contacting me. It just means a lot to myself and my children. You know, Pam Nichols, the chairman at the National Cemetery, she had reached out just because she was looking for Coast Guard wreath layers. She said not to me, you know, that's kind of hard to find. And I chuckled at her and I said, well, Charlie always said the Coast Guard were always overlooked. And I said, isn't he smiling down in heaven for his for his daughter, for the year that he's taken to be represented? And she got to represent the entire men and women of Coast Guard during that wreath laying. And it was after I started speaking to Pam that it encouraged her, after she spoke to other of the three other wreath layers that day. And she comforted me. And she said, you're not alone. That the other families that are laying the wreath alongside y'all, they have lost loved ones to suicide. And for her to include me in that, I want to say it's comforting in an odd way, but to know, okay, we're human. Our men and women are human, and things need to be helped with them. And I also wanted to share with her and everyone else with the Memorial Heroes Memorial Bridge Park, that there's pavers that can be purchased for Memorial Park. I think they're doing online, it's set up until the end of March. So like in Washington, D.C., there's a wall for our officers that either die or are killed in the line. There's no room for our officers who are taken. So this is one place in our nation's history that there's going to be a national park just for our heroes, veterans, and our police, our first responders that are taken, and they will be memorialized at that location. I'm not sure if that will bring healing to families, but I know that just having that a place for his name to be, it's very healing for us.
I want you to know that today's show, April, is dedicated to Charlie. This show is honoring and recognizing him. And I'll use your own words, for people to remember that they're not alone, and it's okay to not be okay, and there is a human behind the uniform and that badge. We thank Charlie for his service to Pelham, to his country, and Charlie Bradley will never be forgotten. And Charlie Bradley will forever be loved. This show is dedicated to Officer Charlie Bradley and his family today. And I hope that you will check out resources and tools that are there to help officers who are battling and struggling right now, silently, quietly. And we appreciate April Bradley joining us here on the Mark White Show today. Thank you, April.
Thank you, Mark.
Folks, this has been another edition of the Mark White Show, recognizing difference makers in our communities and sharing their stories to encourage and inspire us all to make a difference where we can. You can find a way to make a difference, I guarantee it. If you're looking, if you're searching, you'll find it within this show, opportunities to make a difference, like, for example, with Officer Charlie Bradley and his family. I hope that you'll share the show with your friends, your neighbors, and your family. That's a good way to get the ball rolling, is to bring awareness through the Mark White Show to an issue that needs to be covered, that needs to be talked about. I hope that you will continue to encourage those around you. Let them know that you care about your neighbor. Let your neighbor know you care about them and that you're here for them, whether it's a law enforcement officer or it's someone that is next door to you. We need to do more of that. We need to show more kindness. We need to show more patience and love and understanding in this world, and that'll help a lot. It's a good step to show people we care. You have been listening to another edition of The Mark White Show, and this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
And gentle people who shout a friendly hi when they go passing by, who live and love in my hometown. These are my kind of people.
Hi, everybody. This is DJ Thomas. You know, raindrops may be falling on your head, but on Kyla's corner, she's living life sunny side up. Nothing seems
to fit. You are my sunshine.
This is Kyla Carter of Kyla's Corner. You can hear my segment every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Eastern Time on The Mark White Show. Remember to tune in every Saturday and always live life sunny side up.
Please don't take my sunshine away.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to pass along this really important message because it's important to me and everybody around me. Did you know that 22.6 million Americans have battled COVID-19? Now, a huge surge in COVID cases has risen up in the US, but if you have recovered from COVID-19, you may have powerful antibodies in your blood plasma. Like, what? That's absolutely insane. One COVID plasma donation could help save 4 COVID patients. So if you want to be a hero, which I know you do, just go to a donation bank for blood or give some of your plasma if you have recovered from COVID. Anything helps. Love you.
Is it time for a haircut? Go see my friends Philip Butler and B.H. Parker at Southwind Barbershop, located at 1637 Lee Street in Rogersville, Alabama. Give them a call at 256-247-5658. That's 256-247-5658.
If you like hickory smoked ribs that fall apart at the slightest pull, or barbecue shoulders that are so slow smoked each tender bite melts in your mouth, then you are going to love Baby Jack's Barbecue. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett and Arlington. Try the barbecue chicken, beef brisket sandwich, barbecue potato, it is huge, or the Baby Jack Trio, pork, turkey, or beef brisket sliders. You like wet ribs? They like dry ribs. Get one slab that has them both. Catering? Baby Jack's can feed a family or an army. Drive in, drive through, order online, or come in and set a minute. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett at Highway 70 in Appling, or in Arlington at Highway 70, just a block west of 385.
Hello, my name is Christian Martinez. I'm a rising senior at Athens Bible School. My school is great because of the wonderful environment in which students can grow and flourish. We have great academics that include the University Preparatory Diploma and dual enrollment courses that lead to an associate's degree before high school graduation. All my teachers and the school's employees are Christians who are devoted to the welfare of students. We have an excellent student body, competitive sports program, and study the Bible first thing every day. It's a great place. Please consider joining us at ABS next year, or give that special child in your life the great opportunity I have.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still Your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
The Dependable Service Center.
Oh, won't you hear me, people, when I say, well, let's all do something good today.